UHX has listening.
This is UHXS, KD2VNG. How you doing?
Hey, good morning. I'm heading back to my job and finish up today.
Probably only going to work half a day, right?
Done by 2 o'clock. We got the bulk of it done yesterday. Got the two heaters in. All the duct work back together again. It's got a little bit of tidy up work to do inside. And I think we'll pipe in the condensers and we're done.
To this place, I haven't had heat for like 8 or 9 winters. Yeah, I think I may have mentioned this. I think it was the second year I was here. Why is all the heat blowing into the crawl space? Well, apparently there's a family of cats inside the ductwork. So that was the end of the ductwork.
That's not good. Hopefully there's nothing in there crawling around still. Can you get under your house to do it? I mean, are you able to do it?
I don't know what I'm able to do anymore. 10 years ago, yeah. Now, not so much. It's, whatever this is, CFS or fibromyalgia or MS, whatever it is, my muscles don't really work. It's mostly during the cold. You know, I'm okay during the summer. But during the winter, if it gets much below 55 or 50, I literally almost lock up.
Who comes out and helps us from time to time, especially if we have an attic job. He's got neuropathy from cancer from years ago. And I try and get him off the couch every once in a while to get him to move around. And in this kind of weather, he hurts. So believe me, I have sympathy.
Whenever I had a job like that to do, it wasn't all that bad. You know, like a couple of years ago, I did the outside wiring to that other house. You know, electrical work, when you start getting in heavy gauge wires, involves a significant amount of physical activity. You know, the heavier gauge wires are made of that alloy, nobindium. So, you know, like service entrance wiring and main panel wiring, you get a good workout trying to get that into place.
Oh, I'm going to have to steal that joke. No bendium. I like that. Well, that's why, you know, I do the same thing when I get to, like, number 6 wire, number 8 wire. It's a little stiff, so got to use a pair of needle nose to bend it or, you know, or put it in place, you know. I know my hands get cut all the time on that kind of stuff, the no bendium type stuff. I like that. I got to steal that.
Any joke I make is public domain, whether I invented it or not. I'm not looking to become a comedian.
You're halfway there.
How many stand-up comics or whatever got their start on the radio? Well, I don't know. In years past, probably quite a few of them. Burns and Allen immediately come to mind. And let's see, Milton Berle. Well, now I'm going back before both our times. Quite a few of them, you know, in the 1930s and 40s and into the 50s when radio was pretty much all you had. You know, as late as maybe the early 60s or so, we still didn't really have television. We had this one black and white set that I think my parents had for like 20 years. And for a while, that was all there was.
I'll put a black and white set in my room. Absolutely. I get it. But, I remember some of them shows. I'm of the era, at least, you know, I used to listen to some of that stuff on XM radio. You go up to the Comedy Central or comedy stations up there and listen to some of that stuff. Some of the old stuff, rather.
In the era of, let's see, how far back can I go? Texaco Star Theater?
Nah, that's the 50s. I was born in the early 60s. I was born in 63.
So the not quite the golden age of radio. Actually, I'm surprised there was tapes a lot of those old radio broadcasts. I didn't really think they kept them. Kind of like the early history of television, where a lot of those early television shows are basically gone because no one ever thought to preserve them.
if the technology was there to preserve them at that point in the 40s and 50s. I don't know. I mean, or the equipment was just too big or too expensive. I'm not the most knowledgeable person as far as that's concerned.
Around maybe from around the mid-1960s or so, but it was this big one-inch reel-to-reel tape, you know, and it was primarily used just for time shifting, like East Coast programming to the West Coast. You know, it wasn't an archival medium because, hey, buddy, that's a $200 tape you're holding. You know, they were used just to, for the purpose of having the West Coast programming 3 hours later. And, before that, you had, what is it, kinescope? Basically, a movie camera pointed at a CRT and captured on the film, if anyone even bothered to do that. And yeah, the results look about as bad as you would imagine. I read an article a while back, the British television show Doctor Who, which was on from about the early 60s, there was a bunch of hardcore Doctor Who fans that maybe in the early 2000s or so started looking around for old episodes, and they couldn't find any. Because, you know, back then TV was live, or it was, you know, put on film and relayed later.
I'm a fan. I even have one of the sonic screwdrivers, so I know the show. But yeah, they're starting to dig them, some of them out. I think they're putting DVDs out of all the early seasons now of the first season back in, I think, when the heck did it come out? 62, 64, somewhere around there. That's about when it came out.
The code was November 22nd of 63. And I guess it didn't get much notice because of other events happening at around that day. And but yeah, you picked an unlucky time to launch a TV show. But that was a lot of the fans were looking around. This I forget where I read this article. Maybe in the Guardian. Yeah, do you have tapes of these old shows? Oh no, mate, we ain't got no tapes. There were no tapes. Hey, that's a 100-pound reel of tape you're holding there. We didn't save them, because videotape was an expensive thing. And so if it wasn't on film, you know, it didn't exist. Now, eventually what happened is the BBC exports a lot of its programming to the rest of the English-speaking world on 16mm film. So that's where a lot of those episodes ended up, and that's how they were rescued. Yeah, some station in India, or South Africa, or, you know, in Des Moines, Iowa, or something, they went through the basement, they found a bunch of old 16mm films. So that's how they got a lot of them.
Oh, gotcha, yeah. And now I know they've been, like, upgrading a lot of the old Star Trek episodes from the 60s. They've been digitizing them a little bit and cleaning up a lot of that stuff. So, yeah. Oh, yeah. That looks good.
Basically, television series like your Star Trek, those were always shot on film. 35mm film. And you did a telescene, you know, film to video conversion. So you can go back to the original film, and film is way better quality than video, and redigitize it as, you know, high definition video. And of the special effects, you know, what I call, I guess, the exterior shots of ships and planets and things, they just redid those using computer generated imagery. You know, so now the planet looks like a planet. It's got oceans and mountains and cloud tops and weather features instead of just being like a green blob or a blue blob. You know, the ship looks like a ship. You know, not something that's like a frisbee and a couple of broomsticks. So that's how they remastered those. And, you know, they still hold up. They still withstand the test of time. You know, even if they are, by modern standards, a bit racist or sexist or whatever.
quarter of a mile.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I tell you what, the detail work on the Enterprise now on the ships and whatnot from that era is incredible with the digitization. With the upgrade to digital. Really fantastic.
Yeah, the detail was always there. Now, if it's a film, if it was a series that was shot on videotape, yeah, you're done for. You can't get enhanced video of what wasn't there. But yeah, the old Star Trek episodes, most of them held up rather well. You know, the stories are still relevant. In fact, maybe now they're more relevant. Because Gene Roddenberry was the first to actually deal with those types of themes of like race hatred and class hatred and sexism and all that. You could do things in science fiction that you can't really do in other formats. Because you're dealing with the realm of the world as it should be, and maybe not as it is. So, yeah, those old episodes over the years held up fairly well.
Gene Roddenberry is dealing with the world as it could be. You know, it could be this way or that way. Anyway, I'm getting close to my destination. Let me hang the mic up here, and I can hear the GPS in the background telling me what to do. So, let me get out of here. I will catch you another day. This is KB2HXS, Mobile in Simpsonville.
KB2HXS. I probably stumbled that one. KD2BNG, we'll talk to you later, 73s.
All right, my friend, have a good day, 73. Keep warm.